This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 325. Tears are the snot of your eyes. Sisterhood, home of the fucking best girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Panda.
Welcome to another brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Hey Panda.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Yay!
I got paid.
Oh, I like getting paid. That's
me
good thing.
Too.
That's like getting paid is like the reward.
A forte each and every day.
True play away. Can't get out of my mind. Well, think about that paycheck all the time.
All the time.
Well. Blackstreet. Good times. That Teddy Riley. He can produce his ass off.
Mm-hmm. The original rum shaker.
All I wanna do.
Zoom, 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 and I boom, boom.
You know what I'd really like to have happen? I would really like to have Maya Angelou read hip-hop song lyrics dramatically on the internet. Wouldn't that just be awesome? If you could get, like, Maya Angelou and Morgan Freeman.
All I want for Christmas, or all I want for my birthday, is a big booty hoe.
Could you picture it? All right?
Come and get this va-va voom voom voom. Boobs, boobs, lot of boobs.
Okay, can we talk about Nicki Minaj for like
can we just
a quick hot second? Just a quick hot second, and then we'll get back to all of our stuff.
Please.
Okay, just why? This why? Is why we can't have nice things, people. Seriously, Nicki Minaj,
is there
why?
A website? This is why we can't have nice things? Because I feel like it should be a blog of all the things that show why we can't have nice things.
Seriously, this is why we can't have nice things. Because I'm telling you, okay, first of all, this Cheffa has released the same album 3 times now.
Yep, what? Well, we had
Pink Friday.
Roman Reloaded.
Yep.
And then the re-up.
And now we have Pink Friday, the re-up. How many times can you put out the same album and only add 1 or 2 tracks? Here's the thing. Nikki. Are you listening? Look.
She
doesn't
listen to our show.
Shh. Nikki. Put down the wig. Just look at me for one.
Which one?
I don't. All of them. Just look at me for 30 seconds, okay? And then you could go back and play with your wigs. You could just take the songs that you added to re-release the album.
And make a fucking EP.
People do that. When you don't have enough songs for a whole LP, you make an EP.
Or you go to David Guetta and you make club mixes.
Or Calvin Harris, okay? Or Diplo, okay? Any of those people are appropriate for your type of music. Okay, you do some remixes, and again, you release an EP. Now, don't get your knickers all in a twist, okay?
Wait, she wears panties?
Sometimes, not all the times. But here's the thing, okay? A lot of people make EPs. You can make the same kind of money on an EP, especially if you're selling stuff on the iTunes store, okay?
So, like Nikki, Azalea Banks. Okay? Her 1991 was an EP.
Okay, so Nikki... If you re-up this album one more time.
The re-up up? Or if the you, re-re-up?
If you re-re-up this album, I swear that I'm going to Twitter bash the bejesus out of. And I don't like bashing my people. But Nikki, you released the same album 3
really
times.
Is she really our people?
Like, she's half our people. Seriously, Nikki.
So they can only Twitter blast her half the time.
Nikki, I'm serious. Okay? That's it. You need to either come with a new album or just be on other people's tracks like you were doing forever.
When you were showcasing your talent.
And let it go. Okay? All right? You could be like Lil Wayne, okay? And just be on everybody else's track and make money that way.
Feel free.
Okay? All right? Seriously, Nikki, I'm done.
Do See Right Through Me Part 2.
No. No. I said we're done.
Where it's the guy where he realizes that he's a dick and he doesn't deserve you.
I said we're done. All right, so moving on because I needed that moment.
Good. Did you get it out?
I feel better.
I'm very glad for you.
I feel like a weight has been lifted off of me and it's just refreshing.
Did it come off your ass?
No, it came off her ass because it's huge.
I know. Ashley Mom was like, is that real? I'm like,
that ass.
Anyway. She needs new pants.
I know. She just needs to stop endorsing the strippers and endorse some apple bottoms. Just somebody get her some pants.
I am Nicki Minaj and I endorse these pants.
To get over
they cover my ass.
That ass. I mean, even Nelly looked at a pair of apple bottoms and was like, nah, boo. No, those aren't going to work for you.
He's like, let me get you a stretch pair.
I mean, we got to get you like
a... We got a prototype for stretch for all that ass.
We were thinking about a jegging, but no.
It's like, okay. What?
Just
sorry. If you've got a big apple ass, one, be happy about that. But realize, jeggings and leggings are just not something meant for you.
That was not for you, boo-boo.
They're okay. Not. Those are meant... For planks.
Okay. You're not a plank. You got a
gosh darn.
And
your jeggings go when they see you try to get in.
Yeah. That's not a good look. Don't do it.
Vincent Price narrates you trying to put on your pants.
All right. So I feel so much better now.
From the grave.
If Vincent Price is narrating about your ass from the grave, you have a mighty powerful ass.
That is a scary ass.
You just, first of all, everyone needs to just bow down to that ass because it is powerful.
It's going
to
take over the world. It's going to be the next president.
It was probably the thing that the Mayans were trying to prophesy, but no. All right, so anyway.
Back on topic.
Back to kind of, sort of, on topic. I mean, as on topic as we get.
Which is kind of on topic.
But this week we've got a bunch of stuff. We've got some gadget stuff. We got some game stuff. We've been getting back into our regular rhythm, which is cool because we're cool and stuff. So my first thing right off the bat is we got to talk about THQ, people. We have to. We really... we thought about actually doing a Pardon the Interruption episode in the middle of the week, and we just couldn't get timing worked out. But first of all, for so many of our friends that worked at various studios and at THQ headquarters who have not found new homes yet, we really hope that things work out for you guys. If you just want to, like, you know, holler and yell at somebody, we'll listen. But if you're not aware, THQ was not able to find a single investor willing to take them on and take over the company in whole. And so they ended up having to auction off basically the entire company in various buyers picked up various studios and titles. But unfortunately, not everyone was able to find a home. And so some of our treasured things from the THQ camp are safe and others are not. I'm really disappointed because the thing that I loved about THQ Studios is they kind of seemed like, not necessarily the underdog, but they seemed like out of all of the dev and distributing houses, they seemed to kind of be the most indie of all of them, if you will. You know, they were the things that were a little bit more on the avant-garde side of the world. You know, as a example, Vigil Studios was part of THQ, and so, you know, they did Darksiders.
Right.
Which, you know, there were a lot of people that loved the first Darksiders game. There were people who really enjoyed 2. I really enjoyed 2. I haven't finished it yet, but I really enjoyed the second game, and it didn't necessarily meet the kind of acclaim that they thought that it was going to.
They were hoping it would.
Yeah. But, you know, Vigil... The whole point of Darksiders was something that we really hadn't seen before in games, you know, as far as the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and them being Nephilim and having their own strife and things that they had to balance and
do. I feel like this is the year of the Nephilim.
It kind of is. We'll get back to that. But as a quick rundown, Relic Studios, who do Company of Heroes, found a home. Sega picked them up.
Yay, Sega!
Koch Media, who owns Deep Silver, picked up Volition.
Yay!
So Saints Row will continue to have a home.
Yay!
Crytek bought back the licenses, basically, for Homefront. And so they're working and have been working on another Homefront game. So that's now just going to be a complete Crytek release. Take-Two picked up Turtle Rock, who was working on a codenamed project. And that seems to still be on deck for seeing the light of day. So hopefully we'll find out what that project actually is.
Codename, codename.
No, they listed what the code name was, but I forget what it is at this moment, but, hopefully.
Codename Turtle Wax.
Whatever that is, we might get a
codename Cold Facts
at it, at E3 this year. Take-Two picked up Turtle Rock.
Yeah, you said that.
That's what I said. Yubi, picked up THQ Montreal. So Stick of Truth is not dying.
Shouldn't be surprised about that, really. Ubisoft in Canada.
Well, I mean, Ubisoft being based in Canada, that's not surprising. But
no, not
really. I was just glad that somebody picked up Stick of Truth, because, you know, Obsidian's been working like crazy on that title, and I would have been really sad if it had died. You know, and
I could just imagine if it didn't happen, how Cartman's reaction would have been.
I think it would have been awesome. I don't know what you're doing over there. It sounds like you just killed a pigeon. It sounds like you're killing birds over there. Please stop.
I did accidentally kill a pigeon.
Please stop.
They're the rats of the sky.
It's not cool, man.
I don't feel bad.
Unless you get one of those ones from, like, Indonesia or something, because those things are pretty.
I've never seen one, so...
Yeah, it looks like...
Pixar doesn't exist.
Dude, it's on the internet. You should get on it. Pixar doesn't exist. I'm just saying, get on the internet. That stuff's amazing. But, like I said, Obsidian's going to be able to bring Stick of Truth to life. It's going to be a UB release now. And, like I said, Vigil did not find somebody willing to pick them up, which was sad, but there's a slight glimmer of hope in that Platinum Games is interested in buying the Darksiders franchise. And if anybody was going to do something cool with Darksiders, it would be Platinum Games. So I'm hoping that...
Platinum Games is in Vavavoom Bayonetta Platinum Games?
Correct.
Got it.
So I'm hoping that actually comes to be, because I'd really... would really hate to see Darksiders kind of end with 2. There seems to be so much more that the studio really wanted to be able to do with the game, and they were already working on another title called Crawler, which was shaping up to be the successor to Darksiders 2, the lead development team have been quoted on saying that they were able to do some really cool things in just the 2 months that they've been working on the project, and thought that it would really kind of shake up people's thoughts of what they could bring to the table. So I'm hopeful that Platinum's able to you know, come to some kind of agreement, and that still happens, because I really, really love Darksiders 2. So, you know, for those who aren't working right now, and there's a lot of people at THQ that lost their jobs, you know, my heart goes out to you. I know how it feels when you kind of have the rug pulled out from underneath you, and trying as hard as you might, you just can't quite make things go the way you want them to go.
Oh, really?
And I thought it was really cool. Yeah, really. I thought it was really cool because there's a video out on YouTube of the team from Volition pouring a little out for the homies in front of the THQ headquarters, pouring out some Saints Brew. So they take an obviously an OE40,
right?
And put a Saints Row label on it and poured some out.
Go figure.
You know, on the steps, which I thought was, you know, a very Saints Row way to pay homage to...
Nah, I don't know about that.
Well, it's not that you could go around blowing up stuff. You can't have Johnny Gat in the Gatmobile, like, throw an octopi that explode at things.
No, but it could have been the Dr. Genki Mobile, and they could have shot gallons of beer at the steps.
They don't have a Genki Mobile.
Well, they should have
made
one.
They don't have the money to make the Genki Mobile. Hello, the studio just closed because they had no money. Duh.
I'm sorry. I would have thought they would have made one before the closing of the building.
You can't make a Genki Mobile.
Why not?
That shit wouldn't be street legal. Hello?
Hello. They could make a garage and put it in the garage on the headquarters.
I think that you are just making way too much out of this.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go Saints Row hard, then you need to go Saints Row hard. Period. End.
Not hard. Soft. They're pouring some out for the homies.
That's how
you
they
don't
do
blow
it.
Shit up when the homie's gone.
That's not true. You do have you a not play moment. Saints Row the third?
You have a somber moment.
First, no, you have bitches.
Whoa, first you have a somber moment, then you take care of business.
No, then you have bitches at your place that turn out to be assassins.
That was only one mission, Panda.
Yeah, but it's probably one of the most crucial bitches.
I mean, it is.
Bitches.
Bitches are crucial. I'm not gonna lie.
Crucial bitches.
Crucial?
Crucial bitches on...
Crucial bitches are a completely different thing.
Now on Lifetime at 8.
Crucial
Eastern
biz.
Standard.
We are crucial
bitches.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god, that could be our show.
No.
Instead of sister, we be crucial bitches. Because we're crucial and we're bitches.
Speak for yourself. Moving right along again on the gadget tip. I've been going through a bunch of my CES notes and fact sheets and PR kits and
I'm glad you have because I haven't.
I know because somebody does their homework and somebody doesn't.
Somebody looks at her Cliff Notes 2 seconds before the show.
Yeah,
and remembers
and
the
that person
words,
will
the
name
and
nameless
at.
Panda. But
hey, sometimes I'm prepared, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, and by that
I'm
you
a
mean
shining gem when I'm not prepared.
1 out of 10.
I'd say 2 out of 10. I've gotten better in 2013.
We're not that far into 2013.
I know, but still, it's progress.
And so far,
it's
as
progress.
Far as 2013 goes, we're 0 for what, 3?
Yeah.
So.
Whatever.
Right now.
I ain't tripping.
You got a failing grade.
That's okay.
You got an incomplete,
dog. I'm gonna get so much extra credit.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yep.
You know, it's hard to get extra credit out of
me. I pass every year, miraculously. So, obviously, I'm doing something
right. Yeah, some years by the skin of your teeth, though, dog.
Hey, sometimes extra credit just comes in right as that soft layer.
Right on the line. Like, right as the quarter closes.
Right at, yes. It happens.
All right, so anyway, one of the first things up as I was going through all of my notes that really kind of jumped out at me was Slingbox introducing a couple of new devices. Now, if you don't know about Sling, they create media boxes that you can connect to your networks, and they allow you to basically broadcast whatever you pump into the sucker, typically your cable box, out over the internet so that you can watch your media anywhere. So, for instance, if you have cable, you can connect a Sling media box to your cable box and sling that media through your internet connection and watch your cable for your TV when you travel. And they have, for the longest time, have had apps for your desktop so that way you could, you know, if you had to, let's say, work late and you worked at a place that had internet, you'd be able to open up a window, go to the browser, connect to your Sling box and watch your cable, even have a guide so you can switch easily to different channels. If you had the video on demand feature, you could access that on your Sling media box and watch that stuff on your desktop. Recently, in the last couple of years, since smart devices have become so commonplace, there are now mobile apps that allow you to, again, get your Sling connection on the Galaxy tablet, because there's a Google Play version of the Sling app, and then as well as iOS, so that way you can use either on your iPhone, your iPod, or iPad the Sling Media application. What's really cool, and I have a Sling box and I absolutely love it, is the ease of use. Once you have it set up. It only takes a few minutes to configure your device based off of the cable that you have. It does a really good job, and I have to take my hat off to the Sling people updating all the different variant of cable boxes that are out there, so that way you can make sure that you get the right digital remote control for your media box to make it easier for you to change channels and get to the video on demand and that kind of stuff. And they do a great job of updating it all the time. Well, they just announced two new Sling boxes, the Sling 350 as well as the Sling Box 500. And the difference between the two is really in the quality that they've updated in the devices. So the 350, you can watch full HD at 1080p. Again, your internet connection providing. And you can do that with the Sling 500. You have component in and out on both. You have Ethernet on both. You have HDMI in and out on the Sling 500. The Sling 500 also has built-in Wi-Fi. And so that's one of the things that was really kind of let down for me, is the Sling Box that I have has to be wired into your network. The Sling 500 actually can be wireless and can just tap into your existing wireless
network. Uh-oh, you purchased ahead.
No, not right this minute, but maybe later. The 500 has a USB port on it, so you can connect other USB devices to it. So if you have media on a hard drive, you can connect it to the hard drive and actually sling that media then through the Sling 500, which is new. Typically, you can't sling anything other than whatever is hard connected to the device. But with the 500, you will now be able to sling your personal media as well as what's coming in on the connections, which I thought was really cool. And frankly, you know, if you have a need for that kind of thing, it's a great little device to have. Like, I love mine a lot of times when I'm away and I'm staying in a hotel or something. If the hotel channels are kind of lacking, and for me that means you gotta have Comedy Central, you gotta have HBO. If you don't have those channels, you and I are gonna have problems. And so I found that, you know, on those occasions, it's great to be able to connect to my Sling Box and be able to, through the Wi-Fi available in the hotel, get to those channels and get to that media and watch it outside of whatever media I've put on my iDevice. So it was really cool to see that, one, the 1080p thing is going to happen in the devices, because that's another one of my pet peeves is, as far as streaming, you can get pretty good and close to HD quality on the desktop, but when it comes to using a mobile device, you're still stuck at, I think the best that I've gotten on my mobile device is 480p. So if I take that, for instance, and I AirPlay it to my living room TV, which is a 42-inch TV, it gets standard def.
Okay.
It doesn't get high def, so it doesn't fill up the full space. Mm-hmm. And there's no way I can make it take up the full space, and that's really a pain in the ass. It just, it looks great, but it's still, you know, in a 4:3 in a 16:9 TV, and it always makes me pissed to look at it and go, you would look so great if you would just spread out.
Just spread out, baby.
Just spread, just a little
so
bit.
There's so much space for you to just,
you could just
get loose.
You could just go with it.
Hey, girl.
But it doesn't, and that pisses me off.
Because she's a prude.
Yeah, kind of is a prude. So I'm really psyched to see the new Sling boxes. The price points are, you know, pretty much in line with the existing ones. So you're looking at about a $300 to $350, even $400 investment, depending upon which Sling box you want to enter the market in. But I'm telling you, if you have a need for one and you haven't already gotten a Sling box, you should definitely check it out. I think that the 350 is a great looking device. It kind of reminds me, style wise, which is something that's new for Sling as well, because they've really been very simple. I don't want to say minimalist in the design, but they've just been very, you know, gray and, you know, trying to look like carbon fiber design.
Carbon fiber.
But the Sling 350, its design actually reminds me of a Jambox from Jabo.
Jam on it! No, I'm just kidding.
And the Sling 500 has this kind of symmetrical bent plasticky thing going on. Which is kind of cool. So if you're looking to get in the market, definitely make sure that you check out the 350. I'll make sure that we include a link to the Sling website in the notes for this podcast. But I think that it's a really, really cool device. I'm glad to see that Sling heard my complaint about the 1080p and can actually get full HD on the sucker. So definitely make sure you check out the new Sling boxes from Sling Media.
Ooh.
What do you got, Pandle?
Well, I don't have any tech gadgets or anything, but I have been playing some games lately.
Yeah?
Well, briefly, because you talked about this last week, I picked up a copy of D.
Yeah, I'm stuck battling Lilith, and I gotta tell you right now, that fucking battle
I'm not even that far.
Blows. Just saying.
I'm not even that far. But regardless, I did talk a little bit on our Facebook page about my first impressions of characters.
I agree with you. Dante and Virgil, so hot.
Well, yeah, but out of the two of them, their designs, I'm really kind of feeling Virgil right now. And it's so weird. Like, usually, I was always a Dante fan when he gets older, so I feel like I'm one of those switchers.
Are you switch hitting on the Sons of Sparta?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I used to be a big, you know, Fred and George Weasley fan. Like, I was a fan of the twins.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know what? Let's step it back. Let's go back to just one. Just one Weasley. So I jumped in the Weasley family. So, of course, it makes sense that I would jump in the Sparta family, too.
You just, what you're saying is you have no loyalty. You're fickle. That's what you just said.
With my video game men, I guess.
and your movie men.
Yeah.
And your fantasy men.
Yeah.
Pretty much men.
No. Yes. Nice try. No. But I'm not even. I don't even think I've really even fought my first real boss yet. But I do like the reimagining and the retelling. I already kind of really dig the vibe that they're going with already. So I really can't wait to see what happens later on down the road in that. But what I have really been devoting my time to lately is a game that just recently came out for the PS3. Ni no Kuni.
Ni no Kuni!
Wrath of the White Witch.
I just like saying it. Ni no Kuni!
Which is funny because I think the first time I saw it, I was like, why should I be white? To which everyone was like, well, at least she's not black. So I was like, true that. White has become like the new black.
White is the new black, but it's not like the new
black.
It's just like the new.
So. And I'm probably into the second area-ish now. I'm not in the starting area anymore.
You have progressed.
Yes, I've had a good serious amount of progression in my first 6 hours of the game, so I'm not even 10 hours in right now. But I feel like I'm in a Ghibli movie.
It
was animated by Studio Ghibli, so that makes sense. But I mean, literally, the whole time, the load-up screen, I'm like, oh my god. Like, my wish has come true. I'm actually going to live in a Ghibli universe. Now, granted, it's a level 5 game, so it's not exactly Ghibli, but it looks like Ghibli, and it sounds like Ghibli.
Why'd you say Ghibli before? Because now you're saying Ghibli.
Because I'm fickle, and I change.
I think that Ghibli, we already Ghibli. Established
Ghibli,
that.
Ghibli. Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Studio Ghibli. And... But I like the elements that we're seeing because it's definitely RPG. But it's not exactly turn-based. And I say it that way because
it's action turn-based. It's like Kingdom Hearts. You can move around. You can dodge attacks.
Yeah.
It's an action RPG.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like Magna Carta 2. Yeah. So it's an action RPG. But it also still gives you that element of turn-based where, one, you have to wait for attack to go off before you can even set up your next one.
Same thing happens in Magna Carta and Kingdom Hearts.
Well, see, I couldn't get into Magna Carta because...
You didn't play it.
No, I did. And the voice acting just, I could not get past the dead eyes of each character. It's like, blink, you fucker. It's like, your eyes have to hurt right now. I don't care if
Visine can't help you that much.
I don't care if the little blue elf girl likes that red horned thing. She should blink because her eyes are making me hurt. Period. End. But I really like the story, and I mean they really kind of they hit you hard.
Well,
and fast.
Why don't you get into the story? You can't say that. I really like the story, and they hit you hard and fast. What
they do?
Is the
they
story?
Hit you hard and
what
fast.
What is it? What is it?
All right,
what is
so
it?
You are a boy.
I'm girl.
No, you're a boy.
No, I have boobs.
No, you play as a boy.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm with you.
And his name is Oliver.
His name is Oliver.
Like Oliver Twist, but not exactly, but kind of, sort of.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
He's very polite like that, too, actually. Anyway.
And then we became British.
For just a second.
For like a hot minute.
But you play Oliver, and he lives with his mum in Motaville, which looks like the 1950s. Actually, I think it is the 1950s.
Did you see his socks? It was the 50s.
He's got suspenders. There's manners, and, like, men seem reverent and clean, and women wear dresses and pearls.
There's no litter.
And,
so it's the 50s.
You know, cook dinner. But anyway, we've totally got a strong Disney vibe in the story because we
well,
see Oliver.
Well, it's Ghibli, Ghibli.
We see mom, but we see no dad.
No daddy.
And they don't seem to ever really talk about it. It's just
his
Oliver
papa
and his
is
mom.
Nana here.
Not there. Not there. So they've done something with dad. Anyway, so one night he decides he's going to go hang out with his boy, Phil, who's all like,
Phil's kind of a dick.
I built this really cool thing, and we should, like, play with it when everybody's asleep in town. You know, and of course you're like, oh, I don't know, I think
nothing
my mom...
bad could possibly happen.
I know,
it's
exactly.
The 50s.
Hijinks in the 50s. Anyway, so Phil builds this car, and at the time that we're checking this out, we get this omnipotent voice who's peering at Oliver and Phil and this car. And it's, I'm going to assume, our antagonist, the White Witch. They haven't really given her a name yet, so that's what I'm going to assume that she is.
I call her Bitch Tits.
Yeah, she does. Bitch Tits. Anyway, so she's like, oh, this is the child that will save the world, and he's been prophesized. And she's like, well, not if I can help it. We're going to eradicate this. And boom, she has her, like, parrot, Iago-y, fluffy bird cast,
minion.
Like, a spell. Her bird minion to cast a spell on the car.
Her binion.
Her bird minion. Yeah, bird minion. At Birdemic. Anyway, so there's an evil curse on the car that is going to make the car kind of, oh, I don't know, fall apart and or put...
Crash and kill
Oliver. Who is in the car.
Because Bitch Tits is a mean witch.
Well, she doesn't want him to save the world because then it would thwart her plan of...
He cannot be
the
savior.
World.
So Bitch Tits bids him die.
Yeah. So in the moment that the crash is happening, his mother, who was on the other side of town...
Who was woken up...
By a voice.
Of
his
him
voice,
screaming.
Of his voice. No, Andrew, the accident has not happened yet. And she wakes up, notices he's not in the house, and goes bolting out of her door, and magically gets there as the car is crashing into water. And Oliver can't swim. So mommy dives in, saves his life, and then, oh, I don't know, has a heart attack and dies.
She died saving her child.
Or so we think.
Because Bitch Tits is a bitch.
So Oliver mourns for, like, 3 days, which, I mean, that's kind of, you know, common. If you go to work, you get 3 bereavement days, so I guess...
Look, if your mom dies saving your ass, you get to be sad about it
for a
long time. 3 days is, like, nothing. That's just the start of it. First of all, that's just enough time for you to go, like, it was me. It
yeah.
was me. It was
and
me.
And I mean, and it's not even, like, the whole, you know, Bambi where she dies and it's a black screen and then the next scene is, like, happy birds singing. Like, literally, it's him in his room. And you know Studio Ghibli is great with those cry scenes because those tears
are
well
we back
up,
to Ghibli again?
And the face gets fat.
Are we back to Ghibli again?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's just this fat, ugly cry, which makes you want to cry because it's...
Can I ask you about that for, like, just a hot minute?
You could, yeah.
Okay. Why is it that when anything cries in a Studio Ghibli movie... the tears look like big, drippy puddles of mud, glue falling from their face. Like, it doesn't look like a tear. It looks like a pool
It looks like fake tears, like gel tears.
It does. It looks like gel tears and, like, snot. It looks like...
Well,
it's
I think they're going for the dramatic, and sometimes dramatic
I know,
dramatic
but that's just, it's just,
snot.
It's disgusting. I'm like, it's
well,
not even
that's the point.
Like,
not all cries are beautiful and prolific.
I'm not saying
they're
that has to be beautiful
and
pretty, but, like, it looks like snots are falling from your eyes, and for
well,
those
tears
moments,
are the snots of the eyes.
Tears are not the snots of the eyes. What's wrong with you?
It's just like the eyes are the nipples of the face.
The eyes are not the nipples of the face.
Yes, they are.
No, your nose is the nipple of your face.
No, you only have one nipple on your face?
Yes. be weird if you had two nipples on your face.
Whoa. Anyway.
Why would your face have two nipples?
So I
That's
think,
weird.
So I think...
You're weird.
I think the tears, because they're aiming on the side of dramatics.
I know, but it's the one consistent thing that, like, every single person
that's not
that
true.
Cries,
there's a lot of consistencies in a Studio Ghibli universe.
I know, but it's one of the ones that, like, every time I see it, it pulls me completely out of the story, because I'm
see,
like...
See, it pulls me further in.
I'm like, no, why are you snotting from your eyes? Ew, I can't tie with you emotionally now, because you have boogers coming
it's
out
like
your
you
eyeballs.
It's a giant factory of bacteria right now, and I do not feel sorry
I, like,
for you.
I start to laugh, because it hits me
here's
as funny,
the,
not as
alcohol.
Sad.
Wipe, clean your fucking face.
Exactly. Like, here's some Purell. I can't even be like, ugh.
Here,
I
let
lost
me bathe
my...
you in Purell for
like,
a minute.
I lost my appetite looking at your eye
see,
boogers.
See, it doesn't bother me. It actually, I feel close because I'm an ugly crier. There we go. I can admit that about myself. I have a nasty face, gets red and puffy, and it's just gross. I mean, I feel bad for my worst enemy, whoever has to watch me cry like a harp. It's gross. It is disgusting. They should tape it and make prisoners watch it for
rehabilitation.
Dude,
I watched you blow your nose. It's, you
That's
are epic.
Just as, that is just as gross.
That is epic.
So I feel it. I understand it because there's certain places of ugliness that just overwhelm you. And crying, I guess, to the Studio Ghibli staff is an ugly, grotesque, but liberating
thing.
So now
thing. I'm back to Ghibli?
Yep, because okay. I jump. Anyway, so of course, little boy is crying in his room because, you know, his mom's, like, dead.
And it's kind of his fault.
And it's totally his fault. Not even kind of.
I mean, if he had just stayed home and not gone out.
If he had just not snuck out, he could have seen Phil on Saturday during the day.
His mama would still be alive, but she's not because
she's not.
Dead.
And he's crying over this doll that she makes for him. And his snotty tears...
His mud puddle eye boogers
turn the doll into a living, breathing, tangible fairy?
With a lantern nose ring.
With a lantern for a nose.
No, it's not a lantern for a nose. His whole nose is the nose, and then he has
a lantern
nose ring.
But he talks about the lantern like it's a tangible part of his body. It's
I know,
like a,
but it goes flopping around off of his nose.
It flops while he walks. And anyway, so he is... The king of the fairies, oh god, and his name is, what is it? I can't remember what his name is now. Mr. Diggy? Piggy? It's dirty? It's whatever. He's, but anyway, so he apparently had a curse on him from this other world. And he has this, you know, I have it set so it's the English voices. And you can change that at the start of your game. But mine's in English. And he has this thick Scottish accent.
Yes.
And it is so distracting.
It's right sexy.
It's like...
If it wasn't all the news,
I feel like
so
it's that Craig guy, that late night
Craig Ferguson.
Plus all the dudes from
Billy
Brave.
Billy Connolly.
All the dudes from Brave minus Gerald Butler. And Mike Myers all together in a blender. Doing this voice, and it pulls me out of the story more than the snot eye tears.
Because he's so funny, okay. So here's the thing about this character, right? Which surprised me because it's so not Disney.
No,
like he goes off on the kid basically for being a wuss.
He's like,
and
you're
crying.
Such a crybaby, Bunted, because your mom dropped dead. It's like, yes, like,
crying for 3 days. That's a bit much, man. Oh, you're so sad because your mom dropped dead. And I'm just like.
It's like,
what?
She didn't actually drop. She kind of fell to her knees and then was laid on
her
back in a hospital.
That was kind of harsh, dude. Yeah, I was crying because my mom dropped dead.
I mean, we shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, if you go to Zelda, the Twilight Princess, Minda was a complete bitch to Wolf Link the entire time she was on his back. So, I mean, we're starting to see our heroes.
But that's
not
Disney. But that's not Disney. Like, Disney is so, like, everybody's friends and we want to hug everybody. And I want to have you over for soup.
It's so weird because he is, like, the proprietor of emotions because that's what you end up doing in the game, and I'll talk about that in a second. But he does not seem to have a shred of humility compassion.
He has no compassion. He's like, oh, can you walk a little faster, you little crybaby? And the guy's like, don't call me a crybaby.
Him and Cubae.
Okay, we're bunting crybaby.
Him and Cubae from the magical girl Madoka go to the bar Friday night and just bitch about
humans. Oh, no, they sit and they pick people apart like, oh, look at this one over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you this one's going to drink Jaeger all night. Right.
So anyway, there are parallel worlds, and Motorville is apparently linked to this fairy king's world, and it has been prophesied that this boy was going to come and save both of them because Bitch Tits wants to rule, like, everything, which kind of makes some sense. Anyway.
And why she's a bitch.
And, you know, at first, Oliver's kind of like, I can't do it. Like, I'm really sad because, you know, my mom's dead and I'm, like, 6. And I can't
go to another world. Hello, my mom just died.
My mom
I've been crying for three days.
I have no guardian.
Because my mom is dead and I don't know where my dad is.
Oh my god,
is.
He'd be a perfect kid for Pokemon.
And
just
this
go.
Is, like, I know.
But this isn't,
like,
Pokemon.
But this is not Pokemon. Although you do have to kind of catch them all.
You do. But anyway, he manages to convince Oliver because plot hole. Well, not even a plot hole. It's not a plot hole yet, but plot thickens. So apparently, the people of Motorworld have soulmates who are them, but them in another world. And Oliver's mom was this great sage who had been trapped by another antagonist in this other world called
Well,
the
other,
Jinn.
Her soulmate was a sage.
Was
the great
sage
Alicia.
His mother wasn't, but her soulmate was.
Yeah, her soulmate.
And usually when something happens to one, something happens to the other.
And they keep each other in balance.
Balance. So something's obviously up with his mother and the great sage Alicia, because that's what her name
is. It's why she had a weak heart.
Yeah. So, not promised, but Fairy King pretty much says, well, if we can figure out what, you know, if we
and
can believe
name
her.
Name Drippy?
Drippy, yeah. Mr. Drippy, because
the Fairy King, Drippy.
Drippy. But he says, if we can go and free the great sage, maybe she can help us figure out what we can do about saving your mom. Which now motivates our protagonist to become the pure-hearted one of prophecy.
So in a span of like 10 minutes.
Yes. He goes from I can't do it to let's do it.
To okay, how do we get to your
in
place?
In true 6-year-old fashion. Literally. And so pretty much in the story, Oliver is training to become a wizard to battle the dark djinn, which is another word for genie. And obviously fight the white witch because, you know, she's kind of putting all this stuff into
So he's got
play.
To fight this djinn and the bitch tits
and
in
bitch
order
tits.
To right the world.
And obviously become a powerful wizard and hopefully save his mom from
I do the whole podcast
death.
In this voice. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. It's, or you know, the sound, the audio is absolutely breathtaking. They definitely had a full orchestra to audially narrate your travels.
Well, what do you expect, though? Because Ghibli's involved. Now,
yeah, okay.
now.
Yes.
Okay. We got the story. So you know where you're going.
Yeah.
You gotta get the soulmates going.
You
gotta save the world from this genie.
You gotta find all the links between the people of your world and the world of the fairy king, Mr. Drippy.
Yes, and you've got
to
take out bitch tits.
You got to take out bitch tits and the dark djinn and figure out what your connection is, because apparently there's a connection between
you,
the dark djinn,
and Alicia. Now, of
course, and
the whole thing is about connections. And what's really interesting to me about the game is that, you know, when you get into the mechanics, even though it is a RPG at its core, so you have an entire leveling system, you have a hierarchy, so you need to make sure that you are balancing your HP and your...
Well, because your HP and MP is not just yours. You have familiars who will travel along with you. And they
would be your Aeons.
Yeah, essentially. But no, not even, because Aeons had their own mana and health that did not deteriorate Yuna's and or whoever.
And that's why they're familiars.
And they're familiars in this regard because you share your HP and mana pool with them. And so far, I've collected 3. I believe I'm going to get so many more than that. And then, obviously, I'll get other party members along the way.
Only if you manage them well, though, because I was reading some things about the game, and you got to be very careful about your familiars.
Oh, really?
You have to be careful about who you are familiar with and how familiar you are with your familiars.
Oh, really?
Yes. You should get on the internet.
I
it's
should.
It's a very interesting place.
Okay. I'll have to check that out, because that's really intriguing.
I guess I'm doing voices this whole podcast. I've had too much caffeine.
But,
I'm so sorry.
but it's so captivating. And, like, I haven't wanted to shut it off. Like, I've saved, and oh, that's another good point that I want to bring up. No autosave feature, bitches. Not one. There are two ways for you to save. There are stones that you can save shit at. Three. So there are stones you can save your shit at. There are inns where you can sleep and rest and save your shit. And you get sometimes an option to save in your menu file, like in your main menu box. But other than that, nothing to save you. So if you do not plan well and you get your ass beat by a minor Baird because they have to put Y's where there should be I's, then I suggest...
Why can sometimes say I, though? So it's still a minor Baird.
Minor Baird.
No, it's a minor Baird, like bird. A minor bird.
Say minor bird.
No, it's a minor Bostonian Baird.
Minor bad.
It's a minor
bad.
Bad.
Anyway.
It's a bad.
So save and save often.
Yes, like Jesus, save.
Yep, at Walmart.
Yep.
Target. Clearance.
Old
Clearance
Navy.
Clearance that shit. All the save. Save, save. I can't stress it enough. But am I enjoying it? Absolutely. Is it a buy? It was for me. If you are a Studio Ghibli fan or a Level 5 fan, then you should have already gotten your Collector's Edition. It took us
Wait,
three
times.
There's
a Collector's Edition?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
King Baby Duck got the Collector's Edition.
What was
edition.
In the Collector's Edition?
I don't know. We should ask him.
Why didn't you look it up? See, this is why you prepare.
Because I just want the game. I don't need more trinkets. My room is covered in pandas. I have no more room for shit in my room right now. I need to expand my room.
You need to get an apartment.
I just got a job. Let me work on step one first.
No, no, no. You can't crawl. You got to run. Run! Run, panda.
Anyway, so if you're a Level 5 fan or Studio Ghibli fan.
You back to Ghibli?
Yep. Okay. Then this is a game that you need to have in your library and one that you don't ever put into a box. Like, it's got to be out at all times because
nobody
it's
Nobody puts
it's
Baby
worth
in a box.
No one puts Ni no Kuni in a box except for, you know, the CD that goes in its own box. But you don't put that box in a box.
Or the game box because that's where you put the game when it's not in your system. Because
yeah.
there are other games.
Never mind.
That
is a bad analogy.
But other than those boxes.
But I like it, and I'm sure if you're friends with me or you share similarities with me, then you're going to love it just as much as I do right now.
Now, the thing that's interesting to me is, you know, of all the people that we've thought about, you know, and we've talked about how it would be great if they partner with somebody to do a game or they partner with somebody to do a game, you know, when the announcement was made that the South Park Studio guys were working with Obsidian to make Stick of Truth, and we all kind of were like, this is going to be so awesome, and then we started thinking about, you know, how great it would be if, you know, other people and other companies mixed mediums. I don't think that I would have thought that Studio Ghibli would actually work with someone to do the animations of a game. Like, we've talked about all different kinds of companies, especially those that have done some of the anime series that we love. We've
oh my
talked
God,
about
I
how
I love a game that was styled like in the style of Clamp.
You
oh
know,
my God.
Like that would be amazing and it would
so
almost
beautiful.
It would almost not matter what the story was, but then you would want a great story to go along with the great Clamp animation. But I was really surprised, you know, at E3 when the announcement was made about the game, because of all the studios that I'd ever thought of partnering with another game developer in order to bring a video game to life visually, Ghibli was not one of the ones that was on my list. I always kind of imagined them, even when, you know, Disney bought them, as still remaining quite closed and doing their own thing. And, you know, there have been times where, you know, Hayao Miyazaki had said that, he loved the film medium and really wasn't interested in working in any other medium. So it was really surprising to me to not only hear the announcement, but then actually see, you know, a little bit of the game. And now, you know, watching you play it this week as you've been going through it, I've really been kind of, I don't want to say like had my jaw dropped all week, but you know,
has your jaw been a little loose?
No, my jaw's not loose. Uh-huh. I'm not saying that on a podcast. My jaw's fine. But you know, I loved Okami because I love the visual style. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really kind of an example of just how stylistic and beautiful a game could be and fluid the gameplay mechanic with a gorgeous aesthetic look could be. You know, because for a while we fought with having games that look great, but their game mechanics sucked. Or the game mechanics were great, but the visuals weren't
Enchanted Arms.
I'm not casting any spurs.
I am.
You know, but to watch this game brought to life, because I had a lot of concerns of, you know, how do you bring a Studio Ghibli art design to life as a video
like
game?
Like this.
And I gotta say, I've been pleasantly surprised. Like, watching you play through the game, I found myself getting lost and feel like I'm watching a movie unfold more so than
literally,
somebody interacting with the game.
All the FMVs are just like a movie. You could cut them all out and they probably would be about a feature length movie.
I feel like it would be.
And I mean, granted, there's often times that, you know, the main characters, they're not being voiced and it's, you know, text based conversations, but you never lose. You never fall out of those moments either, because it's not just like a big chunk of text and then an FMV. Like, literally, it's maybe a minute of non-voiced and then it goes into an FMV, and then it goes into you maneuvering in the environment, and then another FMV that leads you into whatever your next segment is. And it all flows so well that you don't know what you're going to lead into at the next turn of the street. Which I love. I absolutely love that. And the backgrounds are all amazing and highly detailed. You know, but I kind of like that animation style. It is a fresh perspective for the video game medium. So I like the step back in that.
Yeah, I really have to take my hat off. I think that the team behind the game has really done a fantastic job. The animators at Studio Ghibli have really done a commendable job of bringing that kind of world to life on the video game medium and it not feel forced. You know, it doesn't feel like it's a movie that was chopped up and they threw some action sequences
Tales
in it.
Tales of Earthsea.
Not casting any aspersions.
Tales of Earthsea.
But it
Tales of Earthsea.
But it...
Earthsea Tales of...
But
not even worth watching on Netflix.
I don't know how you feel about that, but this Earthsea thing.
What?
What?
Really? You can't tell? You can't hear my profound love and adoration for Tales of Earth?
I get the feeling that there might be some sarcasm involved there. I'm just saying.
Really?
I'm just saying, there might be a little
bit. Does a pig taste good when you kill it and fry it?
Bacon!
Sorry. Of course there's sarcasm, but that's a totally different podcast.
But I'm not a fan of RPGs, and I'm a bit of a fan...
You are not a fan of turn-based RPGs.
Correct, but I am a fan of action-based RPGs, which is what Ni no Kuni is, and I don't know that I will necessarily play it, but I'm damn sure enjoying watching Panda run through it. And so I want to see how the story ends up. It's really engrossing. And anytime that you get Eshmom up and watching the gameplay,
oh, yeah,
that's when you know you
get a winner. Oh, yeah, there were several times that she came and she's like, what are you watching? I'm like, I'm not watching Eshmom. I'm doing. And of course, then she's like, okay, Panda, and has gone about her business. But she's sat down and she's watched because it's that... addictive. It's that inclusive.
So, Ni no Kuni, it is available for the
PS3. It's exclusive.
It is exclusive.
They made it for the Xbox.
No, and I don't know that you could necessarily...
I don't think you could run it. I don't know if you could run it.
I don't know that you
I'm not sure. So I hope you got a PS3, everybody who we're listening to, and if you don't...
Sucks to be you.
You might
want to
start saving up, because, I mean, Last of Us is going to come out. So...
God of War Ascension.
Yeah, and God of War Ascension. I mean...
So, you know...
Save it up so you could get a PS3 just for the exclusive.
Save it up!
Just for the exclusives. That's what I did.
Save it up!
So, yeah, that's what I have been doing. So, is there anything else that we wanted to talk about that we haven't already talked about today?
Yeah, I got a couple other things. Again, more on the gadget side of the world. As you guys know, I am a huge audiophile. I love me some wub-wubs and other audio types. I'm a big, big, big nut when it comes to personal audio. Not necessarily just devices, but I consume in-ear buds, headphones... like you would not believe, both on-ear and cans, if you will. And then, like I said, the in-ears. And so one of the things that I really enjoy kind of tunneling through every time CES runs around is all of the advancements that are made in audio. Like, I am still desperate to find a great wireless on-ear headphone. Because in-ears don't work for me when it comes to working out. I just, they fall out. They're not comfortable. They never have been. I end up always going back to using a on-ear set. And the problem with on-ear sets is that their cables are always so long because they're, you know, designed to be used at home, lounging around. And so those don't work for working out because you got to get twist ties and wrap them up. And it just, you don't look cool. And I've been disappointed with most of the wireless in-ear sets that I've tried. And I've tried a couple. Altec has a set. I haven't tried the Jaybird ones yet, but hopefully I will. But I like when CES rolls around because you have all kinds of people coming to market with all different kinds of headsets and, you know, earbuds. Both for the audiophiles, so Monster always brings it, but you also have had a lot of companies who have been doing headsets for mobile, now starting to focus on doing audio gear for home consumer use as well, especially because you have such an expanding market where people are, you know, personally listening to music now, not necessarily home audio listening to music, you know, jacking into an entertainment center, but now, you know,
broadcasting. I listen to music on the go.
Correct. And, you know, there are people who in the home are listening to, you know, music on their iPad or books or things like that, but really want a fantastic sounding headset. So I was going through a bunch of my kits, specifically looking for, all right, who's coming to market with something new that, you know, I either haven't heard of before or I haven't seen before, or I have, but hadn't really looked at their stuff in a while. So one company that's kind of always on my radar, but I don't really spend a lot of time on their stuff, just because, frankly, I found better, was I used to be a huge, huge fan of Jabra Bluetooth devices for smartphones. I used to exclusively only get Bluetooth devices as far as working with my phone to take phone calls and whatnot from Jabra. I still have probably the most comfortable Bluetooth piece that I've ever worn that didn't require something to go over the ear, that didn't fall out of my ear by Jabra. I ended up giving that to my husband when I upgraded and got the one, which was actually from Jawbone, which is one of their Bluetooth pieces, which I still use to this day. But Jabra actually has now expanded beyond just Bluetooth devices for the phone. And they started about a year and a half ago working on personal audio devices with some on-ear headphones and in-ears and had some success. And they've actually updated their line this year. And so they've created one set that I'm really interested in. And let me not lie, they're two, but I'm going to be good. They have a set that they're calling the Jabra Revo Wireless and the Jabra Vox. Now, the Vox are the in-ears, and the Revo are on-ear wireless headphones. Their style kind of reminds me of the Aviator on-ear headphones, and they are Dolby Digital Plus certified, so they've got very rich bass, very clear highs, which is cool. The style is really very modern. Right now, the Revo comes in two colors. It's either a black and gray with some red accents, or it's a two-tone white with the red accents.
Okay.
What's really neat about them is they're pretty light, which for me, when you start talking about an on-ear headphone, is really a requirement, because I don't want a heavy set of on-ears that becomes uncomfortable on the neck, and so for long periods of time, I can't listen to them. Like I said, typically for on-ears, I use them when I travel. So if I'm on a plane or a train or in the backseat of somebody's car, and they are just adamant about listening to Justin Bieber, I can listen to good music in my own little bubble. But it's really interesting to see that...
As long as you love me.
to see that they're stepping up their game. Hallelujah. Stop it. That they are stepping up their game when it comes to audio.
And I was like, baby.
Shut up. In the home. I hope to give the Vox a try, because they also promise really rich sound and a lightweight in-ear. And the design of the Vox actually reminds me a lot of the, not Ultimate Ears, but Shure in-ears. The E20s, I think, are the ones that they kind of really remind me of, which... For me, I loved the sound of the Shure in-ears, but they were just so heavy and awkwardly designed the way that they kind of flipped up. Didn't work for me. But what I love about Jabra is they have gel tips that are specifically formed to fit more comfortably in the ear. And the Vox in-ears will use these gel tips. Because I find the super tips for the Beats Audio and the normal kind of round bullet tips that a lot of companies use, I don't know if it's just my ear cavities or what, but they don't sit comfortably ever.
You have awkward ear holes.
And if you don't get that perfect seal and comfortable fit, you're not, shut up, you're not going to get great sound. You're going to have bleed out of the sound. It's and shut up. And you're just not going to be happy. I can't even talk about this shit with you.
No. No.
So the Revo and the Vox from Jabra are slated to be released in Q2 in the U.S. So I'm going to say probably you're looking at like end of February, beginning of March. But we will keep you posted, because as soon as I can get my hands... on some, I will definitely be giving you the heads up for sure. Yeah. So the other thing, and this is a company actually that we have talked about plenty on this podcast, and as a matter of fact, we're using some of their products right this minute. So Blue Microphone was at CES.
What have they made now?
And so, as you know, they updated the Mikey.
Right. Yes, I knew
to work
that.
Finally. With the iPhone 4S just in time for Apple to introduce the 5 with a completely different connector.
Womp, womp, womp,
meow. But they also released the Spark, which is the condenser microphone that you can plug in directly to an iPad and do interviews that way. And hopefully we'll be able to get our hands on and play with one of those pretty soon. But what was really neat was that they introduced a new adaptive USB microphone at CES called Nessie. And it's called Nessie because it actually kind of looks like a sea monster.
Like a Loch Ness monster face?
Kinda, yeah, yeah. So imagine the snowball a little bit smaller.
I don't want to.
With instead of a stand that you twisted into place, it had a permanent stand that went into a base. That the base you controlled the mic volume and a simple USB connector running out of the back. So it basically looks like an eyeball on a stick.
An eyeball on a stick.
Yeah, an eyeball on a stick. But what's really interesting is that it's an adaptive USB microphone. And so the cool thing out of that is that they promise that Nessie will be able to basically pick up all the ambient noise that's going on around you and knock that out so that you get a pristine audio recording. So you won't have to mess with the Mac and settings of your mic and figure out, do you need omnidirectional or unidirectional? Do you need to tilt it up or tilt it down? Or tilt it to the left or the right? You know, in order to get the pristine audio.
Maximum pleasure out of your audio.
Out of you as you talking directly to the mic, or should it be picking up both sides? So it picks that up, which is kind of interesting. Which, if it works, means that you'll end up with better vocals, more detail whenever you have multiple instruments that are playing, because you'll be able to, you know, sit this down in the middle of an ensemble and it'll be smart enough to figure out that you're playing ensemble, and so it should pick up everything.
Smart microphones! What will they think of next?
It has a option for raw audio, so you can do your own post-production editing of things if you need to. Supposedly has a zero latency headphone jack so that you can monitor directly out of, the microphone, which is also really cool, because then you could, you know, put on monitoring speakers right out of the microphone and make sure if you're doing a studio recording that you're getting the sound that you want, you know, immediately. So it doesn't need any special drivers. There is the ability, if you have the 30-pin to USB connector, to connect the Nessie directly to your phone or iPad. So if you're recording stuff on the go, or you've been working on a track, or you've got a podcast that you're doing, you can set the sucker up really quickly, pop it right in, and record that audio. And there are plenty of recording applications for that. And I think there's even lightning to USB connector that's available as well. So you can check that out at bluemic.com/Nessie. It's going to run you about $100. It's a good looking mic. You know, if we can get one for review, you'll definitely hear more about it.
As opposed to a good looking John.
Ayo. Wow. You went there.
Yep.
Okay. Scoobily doobily.
Stamos.
Wait, John Stamos? You went to John Stamos?
Yep. Really? John C. Reilly.
Mm. And then Panda popped a nerd boner. So I think that if you are just getting into doing any kind of, you know, prosumer audio recording, Blue is definitely a company that you want to make sure that you're checking out. I love their microphones. I'm very happy with the Yeti that I have. I know that Panda likes hers.
Yep.
It is a little cumbersome to travel with, so that's one of the reasons I definitely want to kind of test out how that...
You definitely feel its presence.
How the spark works?
Cumbersome.
Because I think it would be interesting to be able to travel with,
a box of mic.
A simpler microphone, but I gotta tell ya, the Nessie looks really cool. So if we didn't have microphones right now that were bomb, Nessie would definitely be something we'd be looking at. So if you're in the market for a new USB microphone for your PC or your Mac, you should definitely go to bluemic.com and check them out. You can let them know that we sent you over there if you do end up making a purchase, because we kind of like credit. Just like a little bit. And then finally, the last thing, which is something that I've been trying for months to get a review unit of, and hopefully this time they'll hear me so with my sniffles, is Munitio, who, I don't know if you're aware of them or not, but they just make cool-looking headphones. I don't know if they actually are as good as they sound on paper. Yeah, I said it. Sound on paper. But the thing about Munitio is they used bullet casings to create their in-ear buds. So from the outsider looking in, you got bullets in your head. Bullets bringing bass to your face. Which is important. They actually did, if you got the collector's edition of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the in-ears that are black and are green are actually Munitio headphones.
Oh.
They're in-ears. And I've been dying to get my hands on a set, just because on paper, again, their specs make them look like they would be a good competitor to the Astro A-Stars.
What?
Yep. Again, on paper. They look like they would be a good competitor, but you never know until you get something in your ear whether or not they actually
will. Yep, you gotta get it in before you know if it's good.
You've been dying to say that, haven't you?
I've been waiting for you to say something relatable to that for the last 20 minutes. So thank you, Ninja, for making this podcast even more enjoyable than it already is.
Well, you're welcome, Panda. So they've had quite a few sets, and when they launched, I tried to get myself on the list to be one of the first people to be able to buy a pair because they did a run of gold-plated cast Munitio ammo bullet in ear. And I was just like, that's just too cool to pass up. And unfortunately, wasn't able to get in on that buy. But I am looking forward because they've updated their line. And for those not necessarily wanting the bullet look, but the sound, they've created two new headsets that are available to purchase that look more contemporary and would be something that, you know, most people would feel comfortable rocking in their office while sitting at their desk, plugging away at stuff, where I have no problem wearing bullet earbuds while plugging away at stuff.
If you can wear bullet earrings, you can have bullet headphones.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to get a review unit of the new headsets, both the bullet and non-bullet versions. Again, just because I'm on a quest to find the perfect sound. I'm looking for the perfect in-ear and the perfect
on-ear. Audio quest.
Audio quest. Ninja Sister accepts the challenge. But I do, because, you know, I've been really happy with my Beats on Ears that I have, which are my studios. I love them. I haven't had anything yet that I've put.
She loves them.
As far as listening to music on a plane, I have yet to find anything better than my studios. As far as knocking out sound and really being fantastic for the types of music that I listen to. And when I travel, it's usually a mixture of hip-hop, wub-wub, with a little bit of trance thrown in there just to kind of even it all out. And then on the back end, my guilty pleasures, which is mostly 80s music, not gonna lie, and video game music. And so those are really demanding genres as far as crystal clear highs and really driving bass. And so far, the ones that have taken the cake every time for on plane have been my Beats by Dre. Has not been beat yet. But I still haven't found like the killer in ear. My Beats by Dre in ears, I love them to death, but they're, you know, great for being at my desk. They're not great for working out, and they're not great for plane, for sure. I end up having to put the volume way, way too loud and still don't knock out enough sound. So, you know, I'm hoping that maybe Jabra might be to the rescue here, possibly Munitio, or if there's anybody else that wants to step up to the Ninja Sister Audio Challenge, step up. So there you have it. That's some of my nerdy stuff for you guys this week. I'm going to have even more stuff to be talking about throughout the week, which you can catch on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where you'll find all of the news and reviews that we put up for your perusal. And you can check out our podcast, as always, first and foremost, at www.electricsisterhood.com. But if you don't want to use the long address, you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address will bounce to that long one. You can check out any articles written within the week. All questions and comments go to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Facebook.com/landofesh. And yeah, this podcast, we do it.
That's right. Every single week, we put out a brand new episode of our weekly podcast for your enjoyment, which you can find on our website, like we said, but you can also find in the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, in the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, or the Microsoft Marketplace. I guess it's the store now.
I guess. Because
everything is the store now.
Come to
on
the
your on your Windows device. Because I don't think they call it Windows 8 device. I'm so confused by the Windows stuff. If you got Microsoft stuff, you can find us in the Microsoft store. If you got Apple stuff, you can find us in the Apple-related stores. Or you can go to
any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you see us, We've got some friends you should be listening to, too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the land of Esh. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
We put out our new episodes, like we said, on Monday, but you can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, co-hosted by one of our homies, King Baby Duck. They are the testosterone to our estrogen, so you definitely want to check them out. A lot of energy over there. They're fun, fun, fun guys. Then for more nerdy, geeky, gadgetry, awesome sauce, you go to geekagro.com. Check them out. That podcast is also pretty effing sweet, and it's hosted by another one of our homies, Deuces Wild, representing on the nerd side. And then on Thursdays, there's new stuff with the Issues Guys.
The Issues Guys!
You definitely want to check that out because that's just so random. It's cool.
He's so awesome. He's live.
It's live. You can call in, interact. You got issues?
Interacting.
You got issues? He's got issues. Everybody got issues.
If you got issues, say hey in the tree. Hey!
Hey! So make sure that you check that all out. And then for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's everything that we talk about on our websites, on our Facebook, like Panda said, facebook.com/Land of Esh. You can keep up with all the news from the Land of Esh by checking us out on Twitter at twitter.com/ESH News. And if you want to see all the individual voices that make up the Land of Esh, then just go to my page, twitter.com/NinjaSista, and check out the Land of Esh list. We are all up in the interwebs. We are part of your tubage. For you, bitch. Hey, Panda!
Yes.
What shit you digging this week?
Actually, believe it or not, since you brought up bullets.
Bullets?
Yeah. Bullets, or rather, ice cube trays that make the ice the shape of a bullet.
I know, those ones are kind of cool.
I was like, dude, I'd love for my ice to be a bullet, like a bullet.
We used to have those when we were, like, little.
But, like, they have, like, those big gauge, like, those 50 caliber shot, like, those heavy artillery.
Yeah.
Like, they looked killer. I'm like, I'd love for my glass to be filled with ice bullets. So that's what I'm digging this week. What about you?
I'm actually digging gadgets in general, just because I've been away from the gadget world, like, too long. And so, just gadgets in general. Like, I need to go to CES again. That's what I'm digging.
Bye!
So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, people,
we're out.